Hi everyone, welcome to STEPS audio channel. We are very excited to share our content from STEPS events to learn all about the latest trends in startups, digital media, fintech, future tech, and wellness in emerging markets. You can find us on Enerami, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Make sure to subscribe to your favorite channel, and we hope you enjoy the content.
Welcome to the panel, and like the MC just mentioned, we all love the idea of working smarter, not harder with content. We can't spend creation of content, production of content takes way too much time. So we really focused on the idea of repurposing content. And I'm so excited because it's the first time at STEP where I've moderated a panel which is all women and all amazing women. So I'm just going to introduce everyone. So we have Anastasia, I will not attempt to say your last name, who is part of Sherpa Communications. We have Reham, who is the head of social media production at CNN Business Arabic. And we have Jen Blandos, the founder and CEO of Female Fusion Network. And it's a great panel because all your experiences with content are really diverse. As an agency, as a media house, as a network, empowering women entrepreneurs. So can each of you shed light on your approach to content strategy and repurposing? Let's start with you, Anastasia.
Hi, everyone. So yes, I'm on the agency side. We are a business consultant CPR agency. What it means, we usually a middleman between the brands and the target audience that they have. And a traditional agency handle a lot of multiple accounts, usually across different industries. So you can name it construction, real estate. We are B2B guys. So this is where we have a lot of technology, construction, even education. And then you have a B2C side with consumer, FMCG, fashion and beauty clients. So when it comes to content production, you can think that it's pretty diverse, right? Approach should be very specific. Well, sometimes we have brands come in and say, can you give us a package? There is not a certain package in this case. You need to understand the business. And what I always say, you need to start from the planning stage. And the content production also should start from understanding the audience of your client. And if you think about B2B clients, I would say they have a luxury to work more in a slow-paced environment. This is where they can spend the whole month on a theme approach, focusing on a certain topic, because B2B guys need to produce more insightful content, white papers, case studies, thought leadership pieces with lots of data and statistics. And this is where you need to support them with this type of heavy content. At the same time, B2C guys, when they target the community, it's about like light bits. Lifestyle accounts, usually with clients, brands, they have 2, 3, 4 campaigns across the same month. Now we are in February, so think about Valentine's Day. The moment you finish it, you have like International Women's Day, Ramadan is coming, Father's Day. So this is the dynamics for B2C clients or brands. The dynamic is much faster. And this is where the content should be more like top level, general one. This is more about giving the right information and the right time to people in a quick bite-sized content. So it always depends on what your business does. And then you need to think what should be the content for which platform. Platforms and in which formats.
Okay, great. And what about you, Reham? Like, what is your approach to content strategy?
Hello, everyone. So our content strategy could be a little bit different because we are as a news and publishing house. You can be surprised on how relevant the news could be again and again to our users. So when it comes to economy news, to be specific, and the frequency of publishing that we use, we could be in need to redefine the phrases and the terms for our audiences. And you can need to explain how this concept, which happened in a certain area in the world, is now relevant in another area in the world. So you will need time after time to recirculate content and depend on what we call in our industry an evergreen content. Mm-hmm. Content that can be published and circulated anytime, any day, whenever you need it to be. Great. And whenever you are going through a very in-depth coverage and a very deep investigation on something, it will still be relevant to your audiences.
Okay.
So we use it on a almost daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's as long as it's still relevant, as long as it still sparks the curiosity of the audiences, you will still need to publish and talk about it more.
Okay.
And more.
again. Okay, great. And Jen, how about you?
Hi, everyone.
You have a podcast as well.
Yeah. So, hi, everyone. I'm the founder of Female Fusion. So, Female Fusion's a global professional network for female entrepreneurs. So, we look at content from two sides. One is the content that we, as Female Fusion, the business needs to be consistently putting out. And then the other side is us sharing ideas and frameworks with our members who are female entrepreneurs to get their content out. Now, when you are an entrepreneur, you don't have money for an agency a lot of times, and you need to find ways to get your content out there quickly, to make it look professional, for it to be easy, and to be able to be consistent in what you're doing. And so that is something that we work really hard on for us as Female Fusion. So, for example, anytime that we will have a piece of content, we will aim to get 15 to 20 pieces of content out of it. So, for example, we have a podcast. We put out an episode every single week, and our podcast is global. So we've got listeners all over the world. And so from that podcast episode, it's a video podcast, we will probably get 20 pieces of content, anywhere from like blog posts to reels to carousels, to different posts on LinkedIn, Facebook, pulling out quotes. And so we're consistently looking at that and going, how can we maximize as much as possible? Not only that, it can be really expensive. So how can we do it? So for our podcast episode, it costs us money every time we do a podcast episode. So we look at it and we go, okay, so how much content can we get out of that? And we will, because we do video, that we'll get 20 pieces of content out of it, and we will recirculate it as well. Because people are getting bombarded with content that people forget. They forget what they saw from you yesterday, let alone like a month or 2 months ago. So we use a lot of AI tools to be able to repurpose that as well.
Do you also look at, we spoke about you create a bank of high performing content to recirculate it a little while later as well?
So one thing that's really important when you are looking at your content, and I really believe that for all business owners, marketing is the one thing that you need to get really good at. As a founder, you need to understand it, you need to be able to do it, and you also need to be able, if you get to a point that you can grow and hire somebody to do it, you still need to have an involvement in that, because your business strategy needs to be linked with your marketing. It's just the way that the world has changed. Marketing is everything now. And part of that is looking at the performance of what works and what doesn't. So it depends upon what we have going on. So at the moment, people can join our membership a couple times a year. We just opened our membership today. So at the moment, we are looking at how our content is performing every hour to see what's working and what isn't. On a normal day, we will look at our content every couple of days to see what's working and what isn't. And the high performing content, we bank and recirculate it. And I was sharing something that happened in the summertime. So one of the things that I encourage with my team is to just go out and do it. Don't overthink it, put it out there. And if it completely falls flat, just archive it and do something else or test a different message. And we're constantly testing things. And there was one meme that one of my colleagues put out that I woke up on a Saturday morning, didn't have my glasses on, look at my phone, and I was like, oh crap, I can't believe she put this out. It is like so against how I want us to look. She did like a Taylor Swift meme and like had Taylor Swift going, you know, how people feel when they download Female Fusion's tech stack. And I was like, oh, that's not us. And then we had something like 250 requests to download our tech stack. So I was like, okay. If it's working, it works, we might as well do it. And it was really interesting that attracted people.
Yeah, I think with content, we constantly have to keep experimenting because we don't know what's going to click and what the new trend is going to be. Right now, I see that on TikTok, someone is following a woman who's talking about her pathologically cheating husband, and it's just all over TikTok. So I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, but you know, crazy. Just really quickly with things like that, I think entrepreneurs as well have to be very careful about falling into the trap of trying to go viral.
Too trendy.
Because you attract the wrong people. And at the end of the day, you need to talk to the people who are going to buy from you, who you want to have know, like, and trust you. So you need to be a bit strategic in how you're doing that.
Yeah, I think it's important to not lose sight of your audience, your brand voice, like you mentioned. But I think within that space, and you need to experiment and play with different formats, different messages, etc. Since you touched on performance, I want to address this to Raham. So what role does data and audience insights play? How do you look at data, and what are the key metrics that you focus on when it comes to content?
So since I started working in digital, maybe started 20 years ago, one thing that we were taught about some of my managers who were there already, that we need to be data-driven. Not so much consumed by data, but we need to be data-driven. Because data tells you a lot of stuff. Tells you if your content is working, if it's not working, if it's relevant or irrelevant to your audiences. And it needs to, if you need to adjust your strategy or adjust your message to match your desired audience. And since then, you need to figure out what metrics to use and what not to use, because data is a huge thing to dive in. And you need to be very selective when it comes to what to choose from and what not, and what's useful for you and what's not. So, for example, your aim could be video views, but is it the right approach? Could it be the video view itself or the duration of which your user is actually consuming your content? Because you can have, for example, a very high bounce rate over your audience, over your content. So it means that, yes, you are getting high video views, but it doesn't reflect on the fact that users are actually accepting your content or engaging with it. So it's important to be very selective according to your strategy and according to your desired audience, very selective of what kind of data that you are using and what kind of deep diving and what are these data is telling you, because it's very important.
Yeah, I think, I have an agency, it's called Yellow, and I think we have clients and even people on the agency side that get a little bit overwhelmed by data. So data is amazing, but it is, like you said, it's important to look at the key metrics that are important for that particular client,
it
you know, and what that's telling you, the insights.
It could be a dangerous quicksand you can be falling into and never getting out.
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
need to be very, very precise and very direct and try
very
and
clear.
Fail every single time and make sure that these are the metrics that's leading to the success of your brand.
Yeah. I know we can talk about data for a long time. You love
data.
I can.
Forever.
And I listen. Moving from data, I think we do need to address AI. I mean, this is for the first time that Step Conference has an AI track as well. And with OpenAI recently also making some interesting updates and videos, video sharing platforms and creation platforms, I have to ask Anastasia, as an agency, how do you use AI, whether it's to craft content or as a springboard for ideas?
Yeah, one piece of advice while we're giving. I wanted to ask, how many of you have your own business in the audience? Okay, so...
Quite a few.
This is where then one piece of advice which I wanted to share, because we talk about the content creation, but probably one of the things you need to question yourself, for example, after this business, do two things. Google your business and Google yourself. Put your name in the Google and see what results going to come up. This is where your journey for content creation should start. Because very often, 99%, when you're going to tell people what you do, they don't know the name of your business. So how the brand discovery going to happen for you is by keywords, right? And this is where, for us, the journey for a business starts as well. Or at least we work a lot with digital teams, digital marketing team. We extract the data to analyze what keywords the audience of a particular brand search for, and this is where the whole content creation should happen around that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the AI tools like ChatGPT, of course, being mainstream or like the booming one, been used a lot. What effect of AI happening now on the industry is, of course, huge volume of information is out there. Mm-hmm. We need to know how to work it. We need to know how to analyze it. And one of the ways how you should work with your business is identify what keywords used in the industry. You may think something about your business and keywords, but also analyze what audience use. They might use the wrong keywords, they might have the wrong perception about the business. And this is what you need to reflect in the content strategy as well, what goes on your website, social media, now Google Crawl, all of these platforms. And the same for us as a PR agency, we produce a lot of content for brands that goes out into the internet. So we affecting the Google search results for the businesses. And that's why we focus a lot on content marketing, just to understand how this can be used.
So do you often use the keywords that you craft, that you want your clients that you work with, that you want that to be their key messages? Do you use that as input in ChatGPT to explore what content pillars or content ideas you could get out of it?
I think the way how ChatGPT used at the moment, still exploration stage, mm-hmm. because it's about prompt, right? How you design the prompt.
How good is the query?
We need to learn this, because at the moment you actually need to be very specific, and it's pretty tough how you need to program and put the prompt there just to get the right insights, because mm-hmm. You need to work with it. Very often we're now hiring, so we're getting PR, the copywriting is the key. So we're giving assignments for people. You'd be surprised. We're getting articles written by ChatGPT, people submitting it, and like, here you go, within 20 seconds.
Oh, my God.
So it's obvious when the content is generated by AI, and this is where you need, it's okay to use it. It speed up a lot of operational admin and research tasks, but still, when it comes to your business, nothing's still going to replace on the understanding of the audience, the personas you're targeting, what should be your tone of voice. And this is if you want to use ChatGPT for that, in order to support your business and produce blog posts, right? For example, you mm-hmm. need to state a lot of information. I want this specific tone of voice. I'm targeting this audience, like age groups, categories. All these elements should go there in order to get the right insights.
Yeah, within our agency, we definitely use it as a point of inspiration, almost like brainstorming with, a tool that has a lot of information, and sometimes to just dismiss first ideas as well. So I think that it's been really helpful for us. And you're right, it's very much about the input and the query that you put in as well.
And if I may interrupt, sure. I found a very healthy tip when it comes to using AI tools, that it's one of the best practices you can ever do. It's to use different AI tools against each other and figure out the best results possible. Don't ever use just a single one.
Experiment.
And make sure that you are, when it comes to copyrights, that you are covered, because it's a very dangerous area to dive in.
Mm-hmm. Great. I think we'll do one more question, and then we'll open the floor for questions from the audience, since we have so many entrepreneurs. I'm sure they could benefit from your advice. So can you provide some insights into successful collaborations or partnerships when it comes to content or content distribution? Let's start with you, Reham.
So we've been talking about this. It's now, with the current ecosystem of the digital media floors, you can't exist outside of the ecosystem of collaboration. So you need to consider your what you can call competitors. You need to consider them as partners, because at any stage you will need their collaboration to actually look at your content and figure out your weak points and make sure that they are filling these gaps in your brand, and make sure that your brand is filling the gaps in the market. So if you don't, for example, we are a content publisher, so if we don't exist alongside the content aggregator, the social media platforms, it's all forms of content collaboration. And you need to exist within this ecosystem, otherwise your brand doesn't exist for the user.
Yeah, so you can't work in silos. What about you? Any collaborations or partnerships that you feel have been noteworthy?
Well, again, looking on two sides. So I think for small businesses in general, and we see this with Female Fusion, that when you get two small businesses come together, that they can both leverage their audiences together. So I highly encourage collaborations that are complementary and win-win. And we see our members doing that a lot, that it will be two maybe very different types of audiences or businesses, but will have similar audiences, so they can leverage that. Mm. In terms of us in Female Fusion, We typically don't do so many collaborations other than with some of our bigger partners, for example, like with Stripe and MasterCard and things like that, that we will create content that will be relevant for small businesses. But then we will do other things as well, like leverage our platform to talk about some of our members and what they're doing, because we do have a very wide reach globally. So we use our platform in that way. Instead.
I would say even the kind of guests that you have in your podcast, that's a collaboration, because you're getting that reach from, like, you had Marissa Peer as part of your, she was a guest on your podcast recently.
Yes.
Recently-ish,
yes. So
yeah.
So we, within our podcast, so our podcast is global. And so some of the episodes are solo, and then some are with really interesting entrepreneurs. Like, I look at it, and also, even if you're a guy, our podcast is called Women on the Rise, but I also have guys on our podcast sometimes as well. And it's looking at entrepreneurship issues that would be of importance. So the other week I had, I don't know if any of you guys have heard of this entrepreneur in the UK called Tim Hayden, who his strapline is Love Your Journey. And he was in Dubai the other week, and I DM'd him and I'm like, hey, do you want to come on the podcast and talk about your business? And he was telling me that he's 55 years old, and he's like, I didn't know anything about TikTok or Instagram or any of this stuff. I didn't know about video editing. I taught myself, I learned how to storytell, and that is how I built my business. Mm-hmm. And so we love to go and find collaborations like that and share that.
That's very interesting. I'll have a listen.
Yeah, it just dropped today.
Oh, amazing.
So you can listen to it now.
And Anastasia, any partnerships that, as an agency, that are helpful for your clients, for Sherpa Communications?
I'm probably going to...
Drop that word.
If so many entrepreneurs here, I try to give some advice to the audience as well. So there are two types of audience which you can produce. The first one, of course, for your website, social media, the direct usage by the audience. Second one is for the third parties, and this is where the magic of collaboration can happen. Media platforms, magazines, newspapers, this is also a medium for you to talk to the wider audience. Very often brands afraid to talk to the media, but this is, could be a very meaningful collaboration. So one of the advice is that do research the websites, platforms that are going to pop up in your industry. Again, coming back to the keywords.
Yeah.
This is how you can identify the key platforms that talks daily on the topics which are important to your business. Reach out to them, drop email, say, hey, can I be a offer, can I contribute with some expert pieces or articles on a regular basis? You'll be surprised how many platforms are going to say yes to this. This is number one, how you can reach out to the wider audience. We help clients to appear on the, of course, national newspapers. Like Halish Times has 14 million visits per month, so that's huge audience. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to target that broad audience for your business, right? There are platforms
you can find
and be more effective just repurposing the content. Same influencer marketing in the country, where 99% of population sits more than 10 hours online daily, including even like the taxi drivers. This is where brands need to invest and explore influencer marketing, but we need to be still following the process. Start with planning. Again, find the right influencers for your campaigns, because very often brands rush after the famous names. And sometimes the same brand or person reused for multiple campaigns may not be an effective tool for you as well. You need to be quite selective and find the influencer. Now the new trend is micro-influencer. There you don't need to invest into this type of collaborations. We have high engagement. They can be, this is influencers with high values which match your brand and values as well. And this is, could be some meaningful partnerships secured out of this.
Yeah, I think as an agency also, we want to avoid the trap of our clients recommending influencers that have a lot of online clout but don't fit with the brand. And like you said, are very diluted because they're working with so many different brands. So I think doing that due diligence on finding the right kind of partnership for your brand is really important. And I think it's also important that it's a long-term relationship, because we have seen with our brands and our clients that you see the spike when the influencer has posted something and then it just dips, you know, in terms of reach. So I think establishing a long-term partnership is also super important with influencers. My next question, because we can't take questions from the audience.
You can ask us questions after.
You can ask us questions after. But since we have a lot of entrepreneurs here and everyone has shared some really helpful tips in terms of what they can do to just optimize the content that they produce, are there any automation tools or content planning and repurposing tools that you would recommend that they explore? Let's start with you, Anastasia.
Well, we notice that we talk a lot, right, on a daily basis, and a lot of content produced in the audio format, and then you sit there and like, I have 2 hours of recording with, which it would be nice to have as a blog, or it could be an internal discussion within the company. So we use Otter a lot in order just to transcribe the content, and you can use ChatGPT, but I would recommend to up it to the fourth version. Mm-hmm. Which has more meaningful collaborative efforts with you as well. And this is that content can be repurposed and turned into the blog post. Again, you need to do a lot of dancing with such software in order to guide on the tone of voice, optimize it, just to get the right content for the social media, for the website, or for the media outlets to use. Canva is a great tool, of course, for design visuals. Now it has more options
functionality
for that. So this is just quick bites for that.
Yeah. What about you, Jen?
Okay, we use a lot of tools.
I'm sure.
But I think, you know, taking a step back as well is that when you are managing a lot of content, it's also important to be organized, right? Because if you are organized and if you have a system behind everything, it makes it so much easier for you to be able to repurpose things. So for example, and probably a lot of you as well are utilizing people in different parts of the world, have virtual assistants, things like that. So we will use things like Dropbox and Google Drive. So we make sure that we have a very clear organizational system for our content so people know where to grab it so it goes and saves time. Mm-hmm. And then we use, you know, again, I think if you are going to invest anything in your business, Canva Pro has to be where it's at because it just makes it so incredibly easy. But then if you're looking at other things like, for example, Descript is a really great tool for video editing, but it also does transcriptions as well, like Otter. But I find because we work with a lot of video, you can edit your video, you can get the transcription, it will do the captions, all of that sort of stuff. It's very cheap for what you get. Mm-hmm. You have things like Opus. I think it's opus.ai, and Opus as well will go and do like a lot of use AI to go and generate certain clips and generate lots of clips for you as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different things. There's different automations, different tools for different businesses. I'm a big fan of doing things like surveys and getting engagement and things like that. And you can get content out of that. Typeform is amazing, but if you don't have any money for that, use things like Forms or Google Forms.
Yeah.
SurveyMonkey
is free as well.
For a few questions. And I think really if you're going to do that, go with Typeform over SurveyMonkey.
Yeah, but looks
what's
better.
Really important is that you have a plan behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, even things like using, you don't need to go with the big content planning tools. Like a lot of people are like, oh, we'll go with later. We'll do all of these other things. Mm-hmm. We just use the Meta suite now. And you know, Meta's going to cut their feed. They're cutting their API, so you're all going to have to use Meta anyway, so you might as well get used to it. StreamYard.
And you had mentioned ManyChat as well
for
community management.
We use ManyChat for all of our marketing to do kind of savvier DMs. So for example, we'll post something and say, if you want more information, leave this word or drop that emoji. And then we will have automation set up that we send a reply
DM,
with the link. StreamYard is also great for content and getting your content out there, live streaming across lots of platforms.
Great.
And you can also do your live stream on Instagram from StreamYard now as well.
Amazing. So we have 1 minute left and we can't take questions. But just to recap, we know that production of content is very, very resource intensive. It can be really, really expensive. The idea is to first, like Jen mentioned, start with planning. And it's great to start with some long form content, whether that's video content, whether that's a podcast, and look at dissecting it and using it in as many ways as possible and for as long as possible. Even with content, repetition is actually a great thing. It just reinforces your brand message. So you have a great video clip, like Anastasia mentioned, use Otter, get that transcribed, clean it up, upload it as a blog post, upload it as a tweet, if you're still using X. Jed's rolling her eyes. She's like, no, I've defined what my content platforms are. It ain't X. And also look at collaborations. I think what Riham mentioned is great. It's great to look at people within your industry that are skilled in certain pieces of content so that you can really find ways to collaborate with each other. And definitely look at data. Don't be overwhelmed by data. But look at what are the key insights for your brand. What are things that are relevant? And keep experimenting. And on the dot, that's it for us. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. You can find our content on Anghami, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Follow us on social media at Step Conference, and let's stay in touch.